Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com is with us for the rest of the hour, talking all things Tennessee Titans.
Charmed.
Yeah, whatever comes up.
Joe polluting his mind.
I've been in love with Alyssa Milano since 1984. Shut up.
Let's not.
There's a drop.
That ends all conversation.
It's a long-standing relationship. Yeah. Be quiet.
Yes, if Katie can have a cardboard full-size cutout of Jason Bateman in our home, I am going to get an Alyssa Milano counterpart.
Fathead?
Yeah. Yeah, at least that.
You have them side by side and pair them off.
Yeah, that would have been a nice. Little, that would have been a nice good couple. '80s couple.
Little
really,
does Bateman know that he's with Milano.
Well, I want to apologize to our listener because I haven't actually asked you about this yet. Mike McCoy getting the interview for the Tennessee Titans. Your thoughts, PK?
The exit interview as job interview. I mean, this guy is so. Listen, he does deserve some credit, and he got better at the end and all of that. But what other circumstance? I think it's completely reasonable what the Titans are doing. They're not firing guys. They're letting them hang around. I mean, if you have an opportunity that you want to pursue, go ahead. But we're going to let the new head coach sort through the staff and make decisions. I think that's a very nice and reasonable way to do it. They're doing it even with the interim head coach. That's how passive a personality this is. I think any other interim head coach would be like, hey, now I've interviewed and I need to depart. It's too awkward with me being the powerful head coach to stick around. But in this instance, well, you know, as meek as I am, it's completely appropriate. It's completely appropriate for me to stick around. I'm not threatening to anyone or anything around me.
There we go.
I mean, I need you and Mike McCoy to continue your relationship.
I do too.
It got much better. But don't you? I mean, give me an example in history where a team searching for its new head coach still has the interim head coach in the building with the title.
I have no idea. It's a good point.
I can't imagine it's ever happened.
That's a good question, but how?
It's a great question.
But I guess
research. Get on that.
Wouldn't it potentially happen though? Because like,
why? To do what?
Well, I mean, just because it's sort of like,
hey, Mike, look at this film on Cornell Tate. We really want your opinion.
Mike, what do you think about Stefanski? You think he'd be way better than you? How much better than you would he be? Like 50%, 75%?
Mike, what are your thoughts on conflict? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
He doesn't like it.
Yeah, well, maybe that he and Amy would work out well that way. They would never, ever have a crossword for each other. You know?
19% of this team's head coaches have been interim promotion.
Well, speaking of Mike, let me ask you this, because we get asked about Mike McCarthy all the time, and I've not really seen any sort of connection from the Titans to Mike McCarthy at this point. Do you just have to assume that that's not happening here with the Titans?
I have heard that he is not interested, and I have some reason to believe that the Brinker-McCarthy relationship is not one that would lead the Titans to hire him, but I don't have that as firmly as I'd like.
Yeah, well, we've like talked about that. Like, people just made that natural assumption that because they've been in the same building.
If two guys work together, right? Then they automatically want
like,
to work together.
Like, liked each other and worked each other. And
yeah, sometimes it's actually quite the opposite.
The opposite, yeah. So, I mean, I know McCarthy, we talked about the Giants job earlier. Everybody's in connection with the Giants job. It's like, yeah, McCarthy, he might get hired to coach the Giants. So
that's four. We're giving him four coaches.
A lot of coaches going to the Giants. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ed in New Jersey. Jersey to the program. Ed, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. One of the things that struck me, and Paul, free plug, you touched on this on your leadership article with Rabel, was when Bergonzi was asked who was included in the interview, committee, Burke Nyhill's name was noticeably absent that I picked up on, and I was thinking about how that compares to a couple years ago when he was front and center
and practically awe-inspired with the, you know, the interview masterclass that Rand put on, as I think he termed it.
Well, he's had some great comments in the recent years.
So I wonder, in hindsight, is Amy finally learning that she is going to trust her football people? And again, Paul, you touched on it. I mean, this is I need some sort of, strand of faith to hold on to. But I feel more comfortable as a fan right now, and at least in the process this time around than last. And I'm hoping that this is a sign where Amy is going to distance herself. Yes, she still has to be involved and sign off on the coach like any other owner would, but maybe this is a sign where she's really finally learning to trust her football people. God, she's got enough of them in the building to let them do it. You know, let them go through this process. So I'm wondering your thoughts on that.
Appreciate it. I mean, good point about Burke Nihil. People in the building will tell you that, and I don't know how much to buy this, that he was in the room and he's there to answer questions from these coaches, but that he didn't have a vocal part of choosing people. I don't know how much I buy that. He does what Amy wants. I can't imagine that Amy's not asking for his opinion. But he's not in there now. You know, now they'll bring him around, for these candidates to ask him questions. But those questions are strictly.
All right, bring out Burke. Come on, Burke. Where are they keeping him in the meantime?
On the business side, he's off doing business and stadium things. And I don't know what kind of question, you've got to come up with questions for the guy, but I don't know what those questions are. But I'm not going to believe that Amy's hands off. I wrote in this piece, Amy's more into a sweet talker than a straight talker. And every coach has to have a relationship with their owner, no matter how eccentric. It's a matter of if it turns into a real friendship or if you have to fake it. And this guy's going to have to shake hands and be friendly with her party set. And her party set is, shall we say, less conventional than a lot of owners' parties sets. And there's a fake degree to it, I think, for all of these guys who have dealt with it, don't you think?
I'm kind of confused at what you're saying right now.
She wants to be buddy buddies with the coach. Is the coach being buddy buddies with Amy is a distraction. Every coach has that distraction. Hers is, I think, more annoying.
So I guess so. You think that was like the case with Callahan?
I think Callahan was certainly a easier guy for her to take around and show off to her friends than Mike Vrabel was.
Like cocktail parties? Like, what are we talking about here? Is he taking coaches on fox hunts?
No, but when she's...
We are uncovering an entire new world of Titans football.
No, but when she's on the sidelines and Brian, I want you to meet my fox hunting friend.
Oh, my goodness.
This is Reginald.
I think... I mean, how could any head coaching candidate not want to come here? You know, I can't imagine.
Well, I had lost this thought in my head, but when Ed called back in, all I could think of was the Burke Nihil comment. So, we thought Brian Callahan was a great head coach before, but now we know. Now we know that we've knocked it out of the park.
And let's say this about Burke Nihil. He knows that he overpromoted Rand Carthon. Like, here's a man that has touched the hem of Jesus. And that he overpromoted Brian Callahan. We have hit a grand slam here. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
So now they hire a head coach. And he's done this
twice
in a row. Right?
Well, Titans.
So does he go on the Titans Homer radio station? He's got to decline interviews now. And
no comment, right? On our new coach. Or, I have no comment.
So he either goes on there and does it again, and then if things go badly, it gets replayed and he gets mocked. Or he doesn't go on there and you say, the president of the Titans has no faith in the head coach. So what does he do?
I'd much rather see that. Just don't talk about it.
He can't win.
Yeah. I mean, just leave that one alone.
He can't win. This is another permutation of them sucking at hiring.
I can't wait until Are we going to get the video? Whoever they hire of the entire organization.
Oh, yeah. Standing O. Come on down. Again, that is, to be fair, that's a league-wide affliction.
It happens.
That's like a societal affliction.
Have to have video. Video at all costs, no matter if it can ultimately bring you shame. If it brings you clicks, you have to have it. I mean, these guys are saying, like, I can't give a natural post-game speech. I used to be able to give a natural post-game speech. Now I have to sitting in the locker room before the game writing notes.
Yeah. All right, guys, this is what it's all about. Oh, yeah. No, I actually.
Hey, give me some Vince Lombardi quotes, quick.
You got me excited about the Burke Nihil interview about the new coach. Okay.
We are very optimistic, yet realistic.
The jury's out.
We will see. Let's welcome in Adam in Portland to the show. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, PK, you got me real depressed, man. I was excited when I heard about Harbaugh being available, and I woke up today, I was excited about them possibly. They said everybody's going to interview him, and then you're like, nah, Tampa and New York. So I just hate that. Like, why is it like that? Because, is it specifically just Amy? Because Tennessee's a dumb place to live. I'm not saying that because I live here. Like, I've lived other places. I love living here. It's cheaper.
Agree.
Especially for somebody who's going to get paid a lot of money. And we have all the same crap everybody else does. So I don't know. Is it just Amy? Is she that intolerable and insufferable that nobody would want to come work with her?
I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
That you just dismiss us.
I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
It's not their personality.
I mean, he's looking right past Atlanta. He's looking right past Arizona. He's looking right past name the job. He's got one of the
open. Who wants to live in any of those places?
I mean, Atlanta's pretty cool.
I mean, people love living in Arizona. People love living in Las Vegas. You're being Nashville's great, but there are other places in the country that people like living.
Stop ripping Nashville.
And by the way, you know, where to live is nice, but these guys are in their office 24/7. And if you go out to Metro Center, it's not the best facility in the world. So that is more a thing that I would be picking if I was a coach. Than the town that I get to go home to at 11 p.m. and drive into at 6 a.m. But you're missing the boat that out of 7 open jobs, one of which he's not going back to that he got fired from, 6, there's one that he reportedly wants. And the other one isn't even open yet. So don't take it as an insult to the Titans and Amy and all of that. It's also an insult to Bilwell and Blank. And give me the other open
the Browns, Jimmy
jobs.
Haslam,
and Mark Davis, and Jim Haslam, and
so real quick, percentage chance that John Harbaugh interviews with the Tennessee Titans?
5.
Okay,
higher than I thought.
Sorry, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. A lot more to get to with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us on the program. PK, a point you wanted to make on the New York Giants.
Yeah. But Titans fans whose feelings are hurt, should also consider, like, the Giants have a pretty good left tackle in Andrew Thomas. The Giants, if you look at their depth chart, defensive front-wise, you know, Titans looking for edge, like need two edges. Giants have Brian Burns. They have Dexter Lawrence inside, who, you know, is not Jeffrey Simmons, but is on the next tier. And they have Abdul Carter. I mean, that as a defensive front is pretty damn good. Jackson Dart is promising. That is a much better roster to inherit. They have some talent there. That's another reason to like them. In a division that doesn't have anybody that, you know, the Eagles are questionable at best. The Commanders are firing
people. They're the defending Super Bowl champion and might win again, but yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But the Commanders are a mess. Dallas is regularly very questionable. Yep. You got a chance to go there and turn things
It's New York.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Also, I think, you know, as I said before, I think they pay pretty well, and I think it's a prestige franchise.
Someone did ask that earlier in relation to the Titans, and specifically about Harbaugh, but you could take it to other candidates. Will Amy pay top of market money to get a coach who is being pursued by others and is coveted? I mean, that is a thing that we never talk about really in these things, because like in college we have public record of these contracts, and we really don't have, which I think is a big, by the way, something that should change about NFL media, PK. I mean, I think we should have coach salaries that some of them get out here and there, but, you know, that should be a thing. But do you think that she, like, are they going to be on a budget to some extent in terms of what they're paying their head coach?
I mean, I think if they could get Harbaugh or Stefanski, you know, they would pay them market value. But when they get somebody that is, you know, a first-time head coach, Callahan, I think, was making $3 million a year.
$3 million?
I think that's – or six, maybe.
I would say three is atrocious.
But
I have a new respect for her cheapness, if that's the case. $3 million a year?
You get maybe I misspoke there.
How could he live?
Look that up. Let's see.
Well, no, but I mean, like, you know, there's. I mean, we got the top college coaches are getting close to $15 million a year. I mean,
I'm looking that up. I don't know why that number was in my head, but we'll see what we come up with. I think they're competitive. Yeah. According to ChatGPT, reported to be about $3 million a year under his five-year contract.
If ChatGPT says it, I mean Vrabel.
Well, ChatGPT is getting that from Reddit. Reddit, I'm sure.
No
is,
good.
Yeah.
See, this is the problem. I mean, really, like this is a problem. This is a thing that like owners should not be able to dictate. Like coach salary, coach salary should come out just like all the player full contracts come out to spot track. And I mean. This is something.
Make it
that
count
agents,
against the cap. There you go.
Well, I will say this.
Well,
I mean,
it's
we didn't have
no
a
cap on the coaches.
We didn't have a problem with Brian Callahan being hired as the Titans head coach, and if she could get him for $3 million, good for her.
I mean, it did end up being overpaying, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're shocked at how low it is.
You pay any of that back?
But impressed that she got what she got for her value. I think you know they'll be competitive in the marketplace.
But you keep saying the Giants pay well. Like if they and the Giants were pursuing the same candidate, and we're talking a totally different cost of living now with the Giants, so they have to sort of compensate for that. But still, you would expect the Giants, from what you know, to easily or clearly outbid the Titans?
I don't have a basis for that. That's just my gut feel.
Okay.
What do you
Reddit?
Not from
me. I mean, we've talked a lot about Nagy even before all this. Any significance to like one of the first names being thrown out there in terms of the interviews being set up of Steve Spagnuolo? And they're just going like 1-2 right off the bat with Nagy and Spagnuolo from Kansas City.
Knows him and could probably coordinate schedules fastest. But look, I wrote this immediately. You know, that first four that they requested permission on, not the most inspiring four, but the order in which they asked permissions and the order in which they interview is not meaningful.
But it's hard for people not to see it and
sure,
think,
yeah.
Oh, how many of his buddies from Kansas City are coming right in? Let's just have a big party. What did you call it, a party set?
Yeah,
let's have a little cocktail party. All the Kansas City coaches.
And I think I thought Borgonzi handled that question well yesterday about you know the guys he knows and separating them from guys he doesn't know. Look, I think just put yourself in this situation where you're interviewing 12 guys, two of them you know, a couple of them you know tangentially, and a good share of them you don't know at all. I mean. I think you'd have more excitement about the guys you don't know. Like, hey, I'm starting with a clean slate on these guys. We've done a bunch of research, but I'm really eager to see what they're like. And you're more open to being surprised or maybe disappointed. But I think somebody jumps out at you or a couple people jump out at you. And I think Titans fans should be excited about finding out who those guys are. And then, you know, you see how it translates if they hire one of those guys. I mean, that's the fun of it.
What about Robert Saleh? I think the Cardinals are the team that I've seen that have officially requested to interview him. Doesn't mean that they're going to end up being the only one, but I mean, that's been Joe's number one guy for a while. We've talked about him. So
I think I get a sense that he wants to be here. Not, and I mean, obviously, if he's just getting interviewed here and there, It's not hard to want to be here, but you know, I think he's got personality, which I think it would be nice for this coach to have, and is well connected to a good program in San Francisco. Seems smart enough to learn from the mistakes he made from the Jets, and comes from more dysfunction than the Titans have. Comes from premium dysfunction. He is dysfunction tested.
He is. Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that we're not. You know, like your point on Flores, I mean, that's, I get it. But Saleh, I just thought would be a clear interview.
Yeah, he's going to be in.
Yeah. The Titans will interview him.
Titans will interview Robert Saleh.
Okay.
615-737.
Who else can you tell us? Tell us who other names.
The whole list, please.
Well, I mean, these names that have been out there are all accurate.
I'm saying the people that we don't know. I want you to break news right now on Robbie and Rex Road.
I don't have any. I could tell you they have not decided whether or not to talk to Fossil.
There you go.
Mm. Okay.
But I don't think that Fossil would be a serious candidate to get it.
No.
But I do think that they, I mean, if you're talking to Mike McCoy, you should talk to Fossil. They're not talking to Denard Wilson. I know that also and have reported that.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot more to get to with PK coming up next. We welcome more of your questions on our text line, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans coaching search. By the way, Matt Nagy, looks like he's got interviews with three teams at this point, the Titans, the Raiders, and the Cardinals. Jordan Schultz putting it out there, PK's best friend. Nagy interviewing with both the Titans and the Raiders on Thursday, and that Friday he will be with the Arizona Cardinals. So, there you go. Three interviews so far for Matt Nagy, who a lot of people consider to be the favorite for the Titans job.
And no John Harbaugh interviewing with the Titans. Or 95% possible. Are you okay, PK?
We don't have
an email right now?
Yeah, I multitask often. We don't, as do you. We don't. I mean, Harbaugh, all we've heard is Giants, right? I don't think Harbaugh's going on some big tour.
I don't think he's going to go through a lot of interviews.
He should give one charity interview to one of these franchises who have no chance.
Yeah, he should. Like, and for charity. Like, to raise money for charity.
Good idea. John Harbaugh, interview with the Titans, everybody. We could
just
do a
like
live
pick
remote.
It out of a hat.
Dude, we could do a live remote from St. Thomas when Harbaugh like shows
or
up.
Or whichever, you know, fan base raises the most money.
I will say,
like, you know how the Bills fan base raises money for charity for anything that happens.
Yeah,
you do something like that. Like, whichever fan base raises the most money for John Harbaugh's charity, he'll interview with. And if that team just blows him away, who knows? Maybe.
You never know.
Maybe. Then we'll find out what kind of salesman Mike Borgonzi is.
I would like to see Mike.
Then you get a stain on your resume. Out of a charity interview that's got a 2% chance, your fan base will destroy it. Well, he couldn't get Harbaugh when we got him that charity chance.
But if you're, in all seriousness, if you're a Titans fan, don't you feel way better about things if he interviews here than if he doesn't and goes somewhere else than if he just won't interview here at all? No? You're dismissing this?
I just think you have to be realistic. You can't look at it and say, well, they couldn't get him the interview. You have to say, well, they and every other open job except one couldn't get him to interview.
Yeah, like, so you're sitting at the nerd table with all the other crappy franchises.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Well, yeah, that's the nerd table with all the other crappy franchises is where you are when you fire your coach.
Actually, yeah.
And the Titans were the lead. They're at the head of the table because they fired their coach 6 weeks in.
Yeah, they spilled their milk. They got beat up and got the lunch money taken from them.
Here's what qualifies you for the nerd table.
They took a wedgie and a wet willy and a swirly.
Here's what qualifies you for the nerd table. You fire your head coach 6 games in. You're picking 4th in the draft. And you fired somebody annually for the last 4 years.
That's true. That'll do it.
Yeah.
Nerd number one.
Yeah. Kick House, me sign.
Coke bottle glasses. Scrawny.
Poindexter.
What else?
So
you left your book bag on the bus.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
It's okay. So on the Stefanski front.
No shot at Caroline.
There is some thought out there and some reporting out there. I mean, that, you know, Cam Ward is something that Kevin Stefanski would be attracted to, right? Like, they were in Cleveland. I mean, who knows what would have happened had Cam Ward fallen that far, but the thought is they would have drafted Cam Ward if he got down to that far. So, how much of a weapon can that be for the Titans when it comes to the Stefanski part of this, if it's true that he's pretty high on Cam Ward in the draft process?
Well, I would say, you know, if you're looking at Stefanski looking at options, you look at Arizona, where it seems like it's a foregone conclusion that they're giving up on Kyler Murray. They're not in position for one of the top two quarterbacks. As a guy who's an offensive guy, you know, you're starting from zero there at quarterback. If you're not into Penix, who's got ongoing health concerns, and your other quarterback is 40, Atlanta is not appealing from the quarterback thing, and you have to be more patient. If you come here and you like Ward, well, you're starting from something. So if I'm a quarterbacking coach, you know, and I like Cam Ward, it's a better place than a lot of these other places from that vantage point.
Okay, now I need to ask you, I know we're talking coach search here, but Cam Ward not having surgery, good, bad, worrisome?
Yeah, no, definitely good. I mean, the surgery is not like a cut-and-dried surgery either. Like, Blake Bedingfield was with an orthopedic surgeon when he was watching the game, and that guy said there's not like a good surgery for it. But he also said, you know, when you have this and let it heal, there's potential that you deal with pain for the rest of your career. Now, there have been guys that have had, you know, some degree of this, and they're all different. But Favre didn't have surgery. Rodgers didn't have surgery. Romo didn't have surgery. And they all played pretty fine football the rest of the time. Some of the guys that had surgery, the one that's coming to mind is Chad Pennington, and we're going back a ways here. You know, never threw the ball the same. So there's some trepidation here, but they're encouraged that it wasn't as bad as it could have been. You got to give him about 3 months. He said, hey, I can work on my mechanics just fine without the throwing part of it. Now, you would like to see the mechanics resulting in the throw.
Yeah.
But he can work on his bottom half. It's not ideal. If you're taking 3 months off to heal from an injury, these are the 3 months that you'd want to be off. So it's not ideal, but it could have been a lot worse timing-wise. Could have been worse that he needed surgery, which is more like 9 months. So, you know, we'll see.
No, he's got a playoff game to deal with coming up. Do you expect Arthur Smith to be included in this process at some point?
You know, I have not secured his name for sure. I think they should, you know, in casting a wide net, take a look at him. I do think, you know, because we haven't heard his name yet, I wonder if it would be an Amy indicator or not. Moving on to Jim Schwartz, they're not interested in Jim Schwartz, from what I can tell. And a lot of people want Jim Schwartz as defensive coordinator. Jim Schwartz is under contract to Cleveland as a defensive coordinator. So unless Haslam has said he wants him, so unless Cleveland hires a head coach who then fires Jim Schwartz, he's not on the table to come here and coordinate.
I was hoping that Arthur might be one of the you've told us definitively that they're going to talk to Saleh. Is there anybody else that you would feel strongly about right now that has not been thrown into the? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot with that.
I mean,
you're putting your glasses.
No,
on.
I think that
means you're getting serious.
Well, it means I'm going into my notebook and I have to read something. I think it's all the same. All the same names that we've heard. I don't have any.
I think that they should talk to. I've thrown out two names yesterday: Joe Brady and Chris Shula on the coordinator, rising coordinator. You might get yourself a Liam Cohen situation or whatever. Front. I mean, do you feel like we're going to see any, even if it's not them specifically, interviews like that.
Shula is on their list. I expect they're going to talk to Shula. I have not heard Brady's name connected to this job at all. And I think that's good. I'm not a Brady guy. I think Brady I'm fearful of coordinators who have made their name working with great quarterbacks. I mean, Brady was moving all around and was kind of fishy, and then he hit it with Josh Allen. I think that's Josh Allen.
Well, I mean, speaking of that, back on the quarterback, on the John Harbaugh front, and I've seen people are talking about this all over Twitter now. Like, if I'm him, you know, we've talked about Tampa, we've talked about the Giants. I'd probably be waiting if I was him to see what happens with Buffalo on Sunday, because if they lose, maybe they keep McDermott. I mean, look, maybe the Bills aren't even considering moving on from him. But with the lack of playoff success that they've had with the roster and the quarterback that they've just thrown out there year after year, if you're the Bills, now that he's out there and available, if they don't win Sunday against Jacksonville, in the back of your mind, are you thinking, yeah, maybe John Harbaugh's the guy that takes us over the top?
Yeah, and what if Tomlin, what if the Steelers go out and score 6 points, which is completely conceivable?
Will they get that much?
Against Houston. you know, I don't think the Tomlin story is necessarily over. There are a lot of rumblings now that he's got a TV deal lined up as his landing spot if he chooses to go out.
God, that surprises me.
That's what,
he just seems like a ball coach. Yeah. Spot the ball.
So did Cowher. And that's what he did for his soft exit.
Yeah. He's not very good on TV either, by the way.
I don't know that Tom.
Well, Tom
would
be good
on
TV.
Plenty as of people a former are good. Player or analyst.
Tons of people.
In a studio role, who's good?
Terry Bradshaw, man. Oh my. Come on. We've been going. I go back to 1993. I love some Terry Bradshaw.
You've got me on tape doing my Terry Bradshaw laugh. I'm not doing it again.
It happens.
Guy's a boob.
Ripping Terry Bradshaw.
I mean, come on.
Come on.
615.
I can't rip Terry Bradshaw. He's atrocious.
He was awesome in Cannonball Run. Shut up.
He was awesome in Cannonball Run. That's a great movie.
Thank you.
I had to have watched that 100 times in the early days of HBO.
See, multifaceted career.
Whereas I'm repeat. Like, and now, Cannonball Run.
Again. Cannonball Run 2, now that was rough. But Cannonball Run, the original, hell yeah.
Dom DeLuise, right?
A couple more thoughts to get to on the head coaching front. We do have people begging for you to tell the LeJarius Sneed story of what happened the other day in the locker room.
I don't know why people are fascinated.
People are fascinated by it.
We want to hear it right from your mouth.
Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us from paulkuharsky.com. PK, your LeJarius Sneed tweet the other day. Was in the locker room, said he'd be back to come talk. Never showed back up. We talked about that in the aftermath of that. Kind of fitting and summing up the LeJarius Sneed tenure with the Tennessee Titans. But people are dying to hear this story from your vantage point.
Well,
so I turned it over to you.
You just told it. I mean, that's
But I want to hear what you
story.
Said.
I believe
LeJarius, will you talk to me, please?
No, I didn't put on some weird Queens Edith Bunker affectation. I don't speak.
Hi,
like
LeJarius.
He was
Remember
there.
Me?
He was carrying some stuff, and it looked like he was heading like towards the trainer's room, which is his place. and I believed him. He doesn't generally lie.
So you said, you're coming back, right? Is that what you said?
Well, somebody else said, like I said it too. A couple of us said, can we talk? And he said, I'll take care of y'all. I'll be right back. And everybody's like, muttering, you know, yeah, you'll be back. And I said, he'll be back.
And you believed it.
I did. And then he wasn't back.
Even all the way to the end, you still had some faith.
LeJarius has been straight with me. And I've probably been, I'm the one person that's covered his court stuff, you know, on really a day-to-day basis. And he hasn't, you know, he's not excited about it. One time he said, Paul, always with the court stuff. But he hadn't ducked me on the opportunity that I had to approach him on it, though it's not his favorite thing to talk about, and had gotten a little bit here and there. So I don't think he's not a stand-up guy. I think he's not a good quote. I don't have beef with LeJarius Sneed from a media point of view. I have beef with the being a bust.
Yeah, that's very disappointing. I thought you were going to totally go off on him.
Sorry. Get to something else. You'll find me.
Paul Kaharski showed grace to someone, to another human.
Yes.
Well, it is a banner day.
Well, we were wondering if the, you know, the next stop, wherever that is for Legarius Sneed, if you were going to chase him down. You'd be like, hey, Legarius, I'm here. Come on back.
I don't
you
think
said
so.
You were you coming
left
back
us hanging.
You never did.
I got some questions. I don't really have. The other thing is, like, what's my question for Legarius Sneed? Hey, do you expect to be back? And he'll say, I don't know. We'll see what happens. You know, it's not up to me. When you can predict what a guy's going to say, I'm not that excited to talk to him. That's why I'm not excited to talk to that many guys in that line.
No, you created this whole story with your tweet, so.
He's just reporting what happened.
Yeah. I mean, but that's one of those things that people are going to latch on to.
I don't know how I'm the only person that tweeted it, frankly. Honestly, I had it typed out, and I was going to hit it, and then I was like, "Well, there's like 15 minutes left. He could resurface." So, I put it in my draft.
Old takes exposed could have been all over.
And then I didn't get back to the draft until McCoy was droning on, thanking every person in the building, and I'm like, "Oh, let me go to my drafts and send that Legarius."
Let me ask you both this: Harbaugh aside, because obviously with that coming out yesterday, that's moved to the top. Have you been able to get a sense from Titans fans about, like, the guy out there who they would be most happy with? Like, does that person exist from your interactions that you've had with Titans fans?
Well, my quick answer is, even from, like, today and yesterday, first of all, tons of pushback on Nagy. Anybody who watches the Bears closely is like, don't. I mean, but even Stefanski, I'm surprised at the negative reaction I've seen to that. But it's kind of the same thing in Cleveland, right?
See, like, I go the other way on Stefanski. There's a good degree of negative pushback, but I'm surprised at how many people are reasonable on Stefanski, are looking at the record and the bad stuff in context of dysfunctional Cleveland and realize he's a good offensive coach. And would be a good get for this organization. But in terms of there being a universal top choice, absolutely not. I mean, there are diggers out there that are looking at guys like Halfley or Kubiak or Shula or Minter. I've got people who are, you know, sending me emails about these guys asking, what kind of chance do you think they have? I'm really interested in this guy or that guy, which I have not. I don't recall getting in the past that are impressive to me. And I think it's more a pick your horse kind of thing than it's been in the past.
I mean, I will say, I think Halfley has a chance to be pretty good. Now, the thing with him is he's not been a head coach in the NFL. So how much does that matter to you if you're a Titans fan?
He
was
a
head
coach
at Boston College.
That's something.
And he's done, you know, obviously, I mean, they've run into injuries in Green Bay on the defensive side of the ball. They're just a joke. But he's done a pretty darn good job last 2 years there. So if they ended up with him, I'd be excited about that if you're a Titans fan. But he doesn't fit what I think a lot of Titans fans are looking for in terms of has head coaching experience and you know some of what you're getting.
I mean, Jacksonville is obviously a historically inept franchise. And Liam Cullen was, you know, good OC in college and Will Levis. Didn't work out at all in 1 year in L.A., back to Kentucky, goes to Tampa Bay for a year, and somehow they figure out, I mean, maybe he just blew them away in the interview, but there's an example of someone, like, there was no excitement when he came in there. I mean, it's hard to not look at Jags right now.
When he came in there, the Duval thing was the biggest story.
Oh, we made so much fun of it on this show.
And he's tremendous.
So, one of those names you're throwing out, that's where you – you know, you don't know if it's going to work out. But I think as a Titans fan, I would kind of be excited if one of them did pop through and become the coach because then at least you'd think, okay, they must have done something to really be persuasive and maybe they can actually make it happen.
And then, like, it goes very quickly to staff assembly.
Yes.
You know, who can you get? And people don't realize just how hard this is because you might have a couple guys you really love and are connected with. But people have contracts, man, and it's only a couple spots that you can pry people away from. You know, you might have the greatest running back coach in the world, but if he's under contract somewhere, you're not getting him. And that's where the loyalty thing comes in, too. Jim Schwartz told me this at one point. Like, you cannot think of your first staff as your staff. You've got to be willing to change. That's a place
that's
where
like your starting
Mike Vrabel
point.
Malleable.
Failed.
Right. Yeah. So your starting point, you got to improve on it, not promote Todd Downing. Well, we've talked about
Todd Downing
this.
Wasn't on the original staff.
Whoever they end up hiring, it's, you know, this is what fans do. You know, you'll talk yourself into stuff as time goes on. I am interested, particularly if it ends up being Nagy. We're going to deal with a lot of, well, he went through this whole thing and he was always just going to hire his guy. And maybe that's huge the case. Blowback. Maybe it's not. But there will be blowback from that. And, you know, and then with all the other candidates. And I agree with you, Joe. Like, if they end up with one of these guys that has not been a head coach before, you could view that a couple of different ways. I would probably look at it and say, wow, they must be a really darn good candidate and blown them away in the process if they've passed on some of these other people that we know are out there.
Is Nagy a visor guy?
I think he is.
Yeah. I mean, this is a big judgment thing I have to ask right away. You cannot be bald and wear a visor.
I agree.
It is begging the sun to come down. It's giving it a target. You already have a target. And then you're saying, here, right here, come give me cancer in this circle.
It really
is where I want you to come and give me melanoma.
It really does speak to, like, kind of.
Yeah,
that's
a judgment.
Right,
right away, I'm questioning your judgment. I will ask him about that.
It does look like.
Up here.
He was a visor
not
guy.
At the initial press conference, but in a more casual setting.
He was a visor guy for sure in Chicago. I mean, it looks like in Kansas City he has either gone without any hat at all
Smart.
Or has graduated to the full hat.
Or the beanie.
Or
the
beanie.
Yeah.
All those are fine, but you cannot wear a visor if you're bald.
You know, right,
I'm an expert on
this. Yeah. No, it's a very good point, and you need to ask if it happens. Right, real quick, Robbie, all the things you said, I totally agree on the potential kind of out of nowhere non-head coach guy. But you know how we'll know if that person is really good and why you should feel excited about it? If Burt Nyhill goes on it, that podcast and tells you how awesome that guy is.
Because he never does that. So, baby. I mean, that'd be special.
PK, thank you for being with us. Good work this week.
Thank you. Don't block the box and be sure to lock your locks.
That does it for us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.